10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
It's true. Science. Vegans have smaller brains than non-vegans. Over time, vegans develop smaller brains. And there you are. It's 7 minutes past the hour. 7 minutes past the hour with Walter M. Sterling live on Sunday night. How are those other shows that are live on Sunday night? What? Oh, there are no other shows live on Sunday night on KDKA, KMOX, KMBZ, WGAN. Phil Zachary. Phil Zachary approved. Sebring Radio, Florida. Michael Ewing approved. KFBK in Sacramento, the base of so many brilliant people. Now, there's a case. There's KFBK. That's an AM radio station. And KFBK is always number one in Sacramento, except every now and then it's not. But mostly it's number one. Why is KFBK AM a dominant radio station? Why is that? Because they decided to be. They never gave up the mission. KFBK. And WPHT in Philadelphia. And on and on. Oh, excuse me. KGGF in Coffeyville, Kansas. Welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday. I'm Walter Sterling. If you've never heard us before, congratulations. It means you've had better things to do on a Sunday night, and I congratulate you for that. But if you're like many of us, you're on your way to the great shift, the third shift, the late shift. This is where the people get it done. You and I work late, and we get it done. The day people, useless. The day people are the ones who created the forms that we're supposed to fill out on time. They're the ones that will not give you the email address you want. They're the ones who have the lousy websites that you know you could make better. They're the ones who don't understand that working all night requires a pay differential. It requires higher pay. Well, why is that? Because you and I have to deal with a lot of things the day people do not have to deal with. For example, where are you going to get your lunch? Where are you getting your lunch? It's a great challenge to get our lunch at this time. We have to bring it, or we have to like find a friendly 7-Eleven where our lives won't be threatened. There are very few places in America open all night, especially since the pandemic. That was a disaster, just a disaster. That's why we need a pay differential for working all night. And we have different daycare problems, different health issues. None of this is recognized by HR. The only thing that's recognized by HR is if you say to her, boy, you look great today, you'll go to HR jail. You'll be written up, and in 60 days, you'll be fired once they have a paper trail. What's the paper trail say? He said, she looks great today. What? Yeah, that was it. That would be enough. Then women went on strike. A workforce of women went on strike. You want to know what happened?
So 100,000 women went on strike today in Iceland to demand gender equality. The entire population is 370,000. So over 25% of the population went on strike. And I have some crazy news for you. The economy did not come to a stop, and it continued as normal. The only memo I got was that HR departments were getting no complaints for the 24 hours that the women were on strike. And men were writing that they were really sorry women didn't get gender equality. But I heard one CEO said it was nice to finally get some done, end quote.
My husband and I, we have a really happy marriage because we don't communicate. All our friends who love to communicate now communicating with their divorce lawyers. I'm telling you, if I can give anybody one marriage advice, please do not talk. Don't read these stupid books. They all talk about talk to each other. Do not talk to each other. Nobody needs to know what's going on in your head. You don't need to know what's going on in his head. Nothing good is going on in anybody's head.
Mom, I just finished my internship, and I still don't know what I want to do. I don't know what my purpose is.
I know what your purpose is.
What is it?
It is to find happiness, to find joy, to find the meaning of life. Because, you know, when your rent is due, when your mortgage is due, you go to the bank, you go to Wells Fargo Bank, and you say, why are you asking me for my money? Let me give you my purpose instead. Your purpose is to make money. That is your purpose. We don't need any more complicated purpose than that.
And there you are. It's the end of a weekend. You're in the car, leaving the beach, the shore, the ocean, the lake, the amusement park, the picnic area, whatever it is you were forced to go to. Because, you see, if men decided what to do for the weekend, we would decide to do nothing. You and I are busy all week. Our goal is to do nothing. Saturday is my day off because I work six nights a week. Why? Because the demand for what I do is so vast that I work six nights a week. And on Saturday, what I do is I don't get out of bed. I do not get out of bed. And I don't return any calls, and I don't deal with anything. And if one of the kids says, you know, what do I do about this? I go, Saturday is my day off. And that's it. However, rarely can we get away with that, right, guys? Rarely can we get away with that. My Midnight Misfits, hello, rarely can we. Instead, we have to do something. There needs to be a field trip involved. But at the end of it, especially if you and I have been in a sunlit area, if we're in a sunlit area, there is the headlight, the beacon, the high beam of truth. The high beam of truth headed toward us right there. The guy you had your first date with, Susan, the guy you had your first date with, is that what he looked like this weekend? When he was walking out of the water, getting out of the boat, getting out of the sailboat, trying to chop wood, trying to lift something heavy, is that the guy that you wanted a first date with? No. And on that first date, did you meet his mother? No. Did you meet his sister? Because you see, the dirty secret is that no one discusses in marriage. This was never in Dear Abby or Ann Landers or even any of the etiquette books. It is revealed in marriage that your sister-in-law controls your marriage. That didn't come up at the rehearsal dinner, did it? You thought your sister-in-law was your best friend. Yeah, that's funny. And there it is. You look at him and go, well, and every day from that point on, you make a decision. Do I stay with him or not? Because that's not who you dated. This is 40 pounds more. You may love the 40 pounds and don't care. He may be a great dad. Boy, is he a great dad. Is he great at sexo? That's what you care about. Is he great at sexo? That's what you care about. Only you can answer this. The train of truth coming at you in the sunlight of the vacation weekend with Walter M. Sterling. That's my name. And the name of the show is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here, the wild
and the not so wild
kids of summer, coming up on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Radioactive details later. The people of Walmart, Sterling Every Damn Night.
Hi, I'm retired police detective Vic Ferrari. Learn how the ghost of retired NYPD detective Vic Ferrari continued to file police reports long after he was retired. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Damn Night from sea to shining sea.
Good evening. We're live on a Sunday. We're live on a Sunday coast to coast. Walter M. Sterling. I have an email. It's Walter M. Sterling, Sterling at Gmail, a website, waltersterlingshow.com, where you can download and save and keep and print out your Midnight Misfit membership card, because boy, do we need each other. And I have a live phone line. What does that mean? It means that you get to be the media. You get to be the media. When you go on the air on this show, you're the media. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. That is our live line. This was an amazing week. I started watching some movies on TV or some new series that I hadn't seen before, but nothing could be quite as exciting as the news. I kept going back to the news because every nanosecond, Caroline Leavitt would say something that was exciting. Every minute that I escaped from the news, Caroline Leavitt would be saying something exciting. And I think there should be an ordinance. I think the ordinance should be that no matter where you live, if Caroline Leavitt, you know, the president's press secretary, if Caroline Leavitt wants to have sex with you, it should be fine. It should not affect your marriage, your relationship with a girlfriend, a boyfriend. It's completely neutral because Caroline Leavitt has the great gift. And the great gift is the more she speaks, the prettier she gets. There are other people who start out really pretty, usually a supermodel, and then they start talking and it goes downhill. It's not as good when they start talking. But Caroline Leavitt, oh my God, the more she speaks, the hotter she is. Oh, for example,
my advice to that unnamed low-level French politician would be to remind them that it's only because of the United States of America that the French are not speaking German right now.
What'd she say?
My advice to that unnamed low-level French politician would be to remind them that it's only because of the United States of America that the French are not speaking German right now.
Exactly. The more she speaks, the prettier she gets. Forget about what she says. Forget about if you don't agree with the policies, you don't like. It doesn't matter. She gets hotter the more she speaks. All right, 855-839-1210. I can't even remember everything that happened this week in the news because there was so much good news. We're getting the World Cup. It's going to be held at the Kennedy Center. How does that work? Kennedy Center is an indoor place. Is that big enough to hold the World Cup, the Soccer World Cup, or as they call it, football in those strange nations that we know nothing about? That's big news. And that's why Washington, D.C. had to be cleaned up. And if you have any issues about Washington, D.C. being cleaned up, that means you haven't taken your kids there to see all of the great things in Washington. I can tell you for a radio fact that 20 years ago, one of the greatest days of my life would be when I'd go to work with somebody in Washington, D.C. And I'd get on the Amtrak train, which I love. I love the Amtrak train. The Amtrak train is like jury duty. You get on the Amtrak, nobody can reach you, and you can't reach anybody. Oh, you can pretend, but you know it'll drop out 400 times. But they know you're on the Amtrak train like they know you're in jury duty, which means you're doing something noble and good. You're taking your time. You're not wasting fuel in the environment, la, 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 la. And you go into Washington. It's a very ennobling thing. Then you get out at the station in Washington, D.C., National Station in Washington, D.C., and they renovated it from scratch, and it is magnificent. Great shops, clean, interesting newsstands, interesting food stands. It's great. Okay, that was 20 years ago. You go down there now, you're good luck with your life, because until the troops moved in 7, 8, 9 days ago, it was covered with crazy homeless people. All of the stores gave up. The Starbucks gave up. When the Starbucks gives up, the venue is over. The Starbucks gave up. It's filthy. It's scary. It's no place you want to be in Washington, D.C. That train station, but it should be the most magnificent train station in our country. It should be like that one in Paris. The famous one in Paris, whose name I can't remember because I have so many things to do. I have children. And it became horrifying in Washington, D.C., that train station. Now, it was National Train Station, right? Yeah, you don't do not want to go there. Well, I hope they clean that up. All right, so that has started to be cleaned up. And in the past 7 to 8 days, there have been no murders in Washington, D.C. Okay. There was some other... Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, and on Friday, the stock market went up 840 points. What? It went up 840 points.
My advice to that unnamed low-level French politician would be to remind them that it's only because of the United States of America that the French are not speaking German right now.
840 points, barely a glimmer in the news. It's like they're so afraid to say that anything is working. They, you know who they are, that anything is working. It's working. Now, the bad news is in Charlotte, South Carolina, and the Jersey Shore, and a few other places in America where there's massive flooding. Charlotte, South Carolina had double the amount of rain that they had ever had this week, ever. Double the amount. The place is flooded. Disaster. Jersey Shore. Every town. Disaster. What I'm puzzled about, my friend, have we not figured out drainage? What is the challenge with drainage? You realize in Houston, Texas, they don't have a sewer system. They didn't get enough rain to put in a sewer system. Every time it rains in Houston, it floods. Every time. Floods in Houston. Traffic stopped. Floods in Houston. Every time. Haven't we figured out some things like drainage of water, pumping it out? New Orleans, every time it rains, there's trouble. Threats on the dikes, not those. And there are simple things that we seem to be stumped by. We should not be stumped by draining water. We should have mastered that long ago. That should not be an issue. And during a hurricane, in some places that have underground parking garages, those fill up so fast that the cars start to float out the door, really. And the minute a car is drenched with water, it's useless. It is totaled. And worse than that, if it's totaled, but you can't see the damage, you just have to know that the engine got soaked. There are clowns that'll try to resell that. There are people who will try to resell that, making us have to go through all sorts of shenanigans to make sure that the car has not been flooded out. For example, that number that the car has, the number, it's on the seatbelt, and it's also on all of the paperwork, and they had better match. If they don't match, you know it's been flooded out. Is this a useful tip? Not as good as knowing what to do with the gas cap when you're filling up the tank. That's a whole separate video. That's insane. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and my number is 855-839-1210, and I always want to talk to you on Sterling every damn Sunday.
Probably should be sleeping. That's when Walter comes creeping. Just turn off the light, 'cause it's Sterling every damn night. If you hear a bunch of complaining and a lot of mansplaining, your dial is set right. It's Sterling.
It's 37 past the hour, 37 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. Look at you. Here you are. And who do we have here? Who's this? What an honor to have a live feed from Hollywood, California. Welcome, Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood, to Sterling every damn night.
Thank you, Walter. How did you get Joe Stafford to record a liner for you, man? That just sounds just like her. It's great.
Well, I have a lot of pull.
Evidently.
Yeah. Joe and I are very close in the spirit world.
You may need a Ouija board.
In the spirit world. Now, one of the assignments that I gave Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood, who gives us Hollywood gossip and outstanding movie reviews, as I emphasized to him, We need lesbian scenes. We need nudity. And finally, yes. Mateus has delivered with lesbian scenes. At least that's the rumor. Is that correct, Mateus?
Yes, the rumors are true, Walter. Mm. Not only lesbian scenes, but nudity, and with two really very attractive, very clever women who are great actresses. I kid you not. It's finally happened, yes, and those two women are Aubrey Plaza, who is an actress, as far as I'm concerned, can do no wrong, and I know I think you're fond of her, too.
She can do no wrong. Aubrey Plaza, you know her from the TV show Community. If you, mm-hmm. if you're not sure who it is, she was on the TV show Community. She was the snarky one, and she's a great actress. She's very pretty when you can look past the snark. Please go ahead, Mateus.
And then Margaret Qualley, who was most recently with the Demi Moore in that horror film, The Substance, where she played a younger version of Demi Moore and absolutely stunningly gorgeous. In this movie, she plays Honey O'Donohue, who is a, well, sort of a gumshoe, a private eye, who lives in the exciting town of Bakersfield, California.
Wow.
We've talked about the beauty of California on this program many times, but when you think of California's beauty, Bakersfield is not even near the top of the list. It's sort of a sun-baked, worn-out city with very little population. Well, there's population there, but there's just not a lot of them that that survive. Anyway, it's known for its dull, hot, arid weather. And in this environment, we have sort of a neo-noir movie from Ethan Coen of the famous Coen brothers, who made movies like Fargo. So this is
horrible
very
movies.
Much like...
Oh, sorry.
Yes. So naturally, a lot of violence, a lot of killing, like in Fargo. But what's in it is some pretty witty dialogue for these two great actresses to rattle off. And in fact, she, the private gumshoe, that's the part played by Margaret Qualley, is trying to find out what the heck is going on when a woman has a car accident, but is it tied into some strange church where there the Reverend Drew Devlin, it's a tongue twister, the Reverend Drew Devlin, who's played by Chris Evans, who played Captain America, he's a priest that tries to help people reach heaven through his bed. He invites all the women in his flock to meet him in his bed. At any rate, he's tied into some underground drug deals. It's an underbelly story all the way through, but the performances of these two women really make it fun to watch, and so I liked it, even though it's way more violent than I like. A nice, dark comedy with clever, clever dialogue. It's called Honey, Don't.
How many scenes of lesbianism are there in this Honey, Don't movie?
Well, there's a large lovemaking scene between the two principals, and then there are other scenes of their familiarity with each other. It doesn't start until about the middle of the movie, but from the outset, Margaret Qualley is turning down men left and right who keep trying to get in her good graces, but she keeps telling them, I like girls. And so finally we see evidence of that on the screen. But it's well done. I have no idea if these two actresses actually have those inclinations or not. It doesn't matter, because the story is so well executed. We believe those characters.
Why don't you say who Margaret's mother is?
Oh, well, you tell me who Margaret's mother is.
Oh, darn you. She's she is a big deal actress in the 90s. She had been a fashion model, and then she became a big deal actress. And I will think of it as soon as you're gone. I'm surprised you didn't know that, because you know everything about it.
Well, sometimes, not always.
Do you have any gossip while I look up who Margaret Qualley's mother is?
Well, there's actually a couple of other movies that came out. There's a movie called Eden. I could talk about that ever so briefly.
Okay.
That has, if you'd like. That's a movie with Jude Law where he plays a German. Oh, Andy McDowell is the mother. Andy McDowell.
Yes, you're right.
Margaret Qualley's mother.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Sorry, it was a little slow on the uptake.
That's right.
Sure thing. Mm-hmm. So this movie, Eden, with Jude Law, is based on the story of a real-life German botanist named Friedrich Ritter, who in the 1930s lives on this island in the Galapagos with his female friend, Doris Trau. She's played by Vanessa Kirby. She's always fun in the movies. And they think this is a somewhat paradise-like setting,
with the rise of fascism in Germany, and they're doing rather well there. Their exploits on the island as they try to look at botany and other things are widely reported. So as the fascists come to power, other Germans think, well, maybe we can escape to this island, but they're not necessarily welcome. So you end up having this situation where people keep coming to this island and destroying the paradise as created by Jude Law, which he doesn't particularly care for. Ana de Armas arrives. She's with two men in tow. She wants to build a large hotel there, and then when she's not prepared for island life and how difficult it is, she starts setting everybody on the island against each other to get what she wants, and it does not turn out well. So it's sort of like a Survivor 1933 style, but in fact, it was really a true story. These were real people, and it actually did happen. Ron Howard directs the movie, and it's not a typical Ron Howard movie. It's claustrophobic, sticky, sort of Lord of the Flies and Robinson Crusoe with pretty women. So there you go. That's Eden, also in theaters right now.
I wasted too much time this weekend watching something that I realized was just terrible. And then I was annoyed at how much time I had spent watching it. Halle Berry in 2004-05 was in a series called 2014, in a series called Extant, E-X-T-A-N-T, Extant, executive producer Steven Spielberg. And it was a science fiction movie, and it ran for two seasons, and long seasons, like 13 episodes. And as I was watching it, after about the eighth episode, I went, this is terrible. I can't follow it. The plot is convoluted. And then in the second season, they got rid of half of the original cast just to make it more confusing. Oh, yeah, my husband got hit by a train. What? We didn't see the train. We don't know why he got hit by a train. But the train, he had to go. Her husband had to go. Now, it was interesting that Halle Berry was the star of this. And it showed what a great actress can do. She was great. I believed every word she said. Everybody around her was not great, but the script was horrendous. And what it was about was a woman astronaut about 30 years from now goes into space for 14 months and comes back pregnant. And it was a solo mission. It was a solo mission. She was in a space station alone, and she comes back pregnant. And that's how it started. Okay, that's pretty good. We like that. I can't begin. It ended like Children of the Corn in space. Children of the Corn in space. But Children of the Corn was far more terrifying than this. It was just awful. I'm like, why did I waste 6 hours watching this complete piece of garbage? All right, Matthias Boom Boom Hollywood, how do we find you on Facebook?
Matthias Bumball's Hollywood on Facebook, MATIAS. BOMBAL apostrophe S Hollywood, like the city. Matthias Bumball's Hollywood.
Sterling every damn Sunday.
Big raid in Houston at the library on West T.C. Jester Boulevard. Yeah, the library, you see, not a library at all. Not a lot of book reading going on. No, it's apparently a sexually oriented business that's been doing its job for a long, long time. Apparently, though, without a liquor license, without the necessary permits. And yeah, it's created all sorts of mayhem for the good people of Houston. Their website, by the way, is available now at libraryhouston.com. You see, at this sexually oriented business, they were serving the booze. They had apparently lots of, shall we say, interesting activities going on, and it was all without the government supervision. There's one thing we've learned about the government. We love our government to supervise us. We want our permits. We want to make sure that our sexually transmitted diseases are in a place that we can actually regulate. Yeah, regulating love. And that's what the people in Houston are all about. So this raid took place, a bunch of people arrested, including several quote-unquote adult entertainers. Also, they were serving booze. So I'm guessing the argument was, they're hosting a party, hosting a big old party. Yeah, and you could give a tip, and yeah, it's at a place that says it's a business, but it's not a business. The government's getting in the way of entrepreneurship. It's time to free strip clubs to be able to entertain the gentlemen of the city of Houston or anywhere in the U.S. of A. Why do you need a permit? Just some good old-fashioned dancing and grinding. Dancing and grinding. Time to legalize it. From the champagne room, which is illegal. I'm Velo Hool, strippers on the loose, Sterling every damn night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here, the wild.
And the not so wild.
Kids of summer, coming up on Sterling every damn night.
Radioactive. Details later, the people of Walmart, Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired police detective Vic Ferrari. Learn how the ghost of retired NYPD detective Vic Ferrari continued to file police reports long after he was retired. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
W, somebody stop me. PHT, W, if you can top me. PHT, 2400 Market Street, 1210 on the dial. That powerful, powerful station with a 50-kilowatt smile. Yeah, it's Sterling every damn night, from sea to shining sea. This is W, somebody stop me. PHT.
Feel the dough. Eat the dough, J.B. Bakery, Selena and Steve, Sterling every damn night.
Here's Selena, a ballerina, but more importantly, a pageant girl, and the manager of J.B. Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, not an advertiser. J.B. Bakery, I get to talk to the manager and the owner because I have deep respect for anybody who's an entrepreneur. Anybody who's young and has decided to run their own business, especially a traditional retail business, that's a hard business. Selena, what is the hardest thing about running a bakery, which always looks to us like fun, but there must be hard things. What's the hardest thing about running a bakery?
Well, one thing that's a little bit difficult is getting all the ingredients in. We have a lot of different suppliers all the time, and it's definitely a tedious task to make sure we have everything, but also keeping up with the demand. There's always a new trend, whether that's pistachio Dubai donuts or, you know, strawberry and cream. There's always something new, and we really want to try and make as much as we can.
Have you suffered with the matcha trend? Have you had to deal with the matcha trend?
Surprisingly, no. We do have matcha macarons in the store, but I'm pretty sure that's the only matcha thing we've had. People don't really ask for it, so we haven't had to suffer through that yet.
It's an embarrassing trend. I find nothing appealing about it. It's inevitably, people who say, I really love matcha, are also the same people who say, I really love avocado toast, and both of them make me want to say, shut up. Just shut up with your avocado toast and your matcha. What's the hottest trend right now in bakeries?
Well, if Father Drucker doesn't eat them all, something that's really hot right now is buttercream frosted cupcakes. We have them at the bakery. They're fluffy, fresh-baked cupcakes with a freshly whipped buttercream on top. And we like to put, for Memorial Day weekend, really festive sprinkles and fun things. They seem simple, but it's a really easy thing to take to a barbecue. I'm going to be taking them places this weekend because you don't have to actually cut a cake.
Now, buttercream is a source of great debate over whether or not something is buttercream, not buttercream. And then I came to learn that buttercream is hard to make. How can that be? Is it hard to make?
I think it can be challenging to make. The most important thing, in my opinion, is having your butter at the right temperature. As long as it's not too warm, if it starts to melt too much, your frosting won't really whip up to a good consistency. So if it's room temperature and you use a powdered sugar, you really can't go wrong. Some people make it fancy. They do like an Italian meringue buttercream where you make a meringue with an egg white and or like a candied simple syrup. But you really can keep it simple with an American style buttercream.
I don't like meringue. I want things that are soft and easy to eat. And meringue, there are certain things that have always disappointed me. Meringue's always disappointed me. And what are those French cookies?
The macarons, but those are made with meringue.
Right. They always look incredible and never taste incredible. I'm Walter M. Sterling talking to Selena from JB Bakery, Sterling every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
Now, do you cut the sandwich for your kid horizontally or diagonally?
Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
All right, it's 7 past the hour, 11:07 at WGAN in Maine and 8:07 at KFBK in Sacramento. Walter M. Sterling every damn Sunday. And you can hear me every damn night with the Odyssey app. Yes, with an app. Apps solve everything. Do you know there's a Mr. Frosty app that'll show you exactly where the Mr. Frosty truck is relative to your home? And if you click on a picture of the truck that's near your home, it'll tell you when that truck started, what year it started, and the name of the driver. What could be better than that, my friend? What could be more American than knowing where the Mr. Frosty truck is at any given time? Now, tragically, at 9 p.m., it stops. Mr. Frosty trucks, much to my shock, have to be off the street by 9 p.m. But there is summer. An app to tell you. Have you ever had that horrible experience? I'm sure you have. I've had it too often. It's like so many things in life. You hear it. The sound is near me. And I open the door because of those bells, I think the Mr. Softy truck is nearby. And I open the door, and I'm like, I can't quite figure out where is the Mr. Softy truck. Worst case scenario, daughter hears it too, and she wants it now. And we both go outside, and we're looking around like pathfinders. And I'm like, where is it? We can't tell for sure. We look up and down the street. It's not there. We have money, rare event. Once or twice, I've actually gotten in the car and started to drive the neighborhood to find the Mr. Softy truck. I bet you've done this too. And there was a cluster of people on a lawn. And we stopped. We said, where'd the Mr. Frosty truck go? Where'd it go? And they point. Ah, and we follow it. Well, sometimes it was two or three blocks away, even though we heard the bell. That is the challenge of summer, finding the ice cream truck. Where I grew up, which was in New Jersey, the ice cream truck came at exactly the same time every day to exactly the same location. We didn't have any problem. It was not a problem. It was to the same park that we played in. Here's how it went. See if any of this is familiar. At around 10 in the morning, I didn't have one of those mothers who threw us out. At around 10 in the morning, I got on my bike. As the door slammed, I'd hear, "Where are you going? Where are you going?" "To the park. I'm going to the park. Be home for dinner." Okay. That meant 6 p.m. I'd go to the park. It was a nice pocket park in the neighborhood. And I'd be there pretty much all day. And the worst and best thing that happened to me is there was a park guy there during the summer, a kid, a high school kid or a college kid, who had a great job, which was to sit in the park and make sure nothing happened at all. Good, bad, didn't matter. He wasn't going to play sports with us. But in retrospect, boy, there's no coincidences, is there? In retrospect, and he had to be the only one in America. Imagine this. I'm just thinking about me and this guy. He brought with him a reel-to-reel, quasi-professional tape recorder. And there was one outlet in the shelter in the park. He had one plug. in the shelter in the park and a key. He could get inside the shelter. We couldn't. Didn't even have a doorknob. Remember those doors? Balls, rackets, nets, that's what was in there, and an outlet. And he plugged it in with an extension cord, brought it out, and he could play with it. He had a tape recorder there every day. And me, radio guy, nine or 10, I sat there, was fascinated. And imagine that, though. I'm just thinking about that now. Me, radio guy, at the age of 9, 10, 11, the park guy brought a reel-to-reel tape recorder. That's bizarre. The more I think about it, don't tell me there's no such thing as divine intervention. I'm convinced there is. I know it's Sunday night. Shut up. And then at about 4, a little before 4, I realized the ice cream truck was coming, and I, of course, never prepared for this. I took the bike, went home, said to my mother, the ice cream truck is coming. And I got the money and I went back to the ice cream truck and got what I wanted. Now, and it was a Good Humor truck. There were Good Humor items even a few years ago that no longer exist, that you cannot find in the store. Their menu of items has frozen, no pun. There are no new items coming out of Good Humor. I wonder who bought them up. There used to be something I'd covet today. I happen to be a sucker for anything that's cherry flavored. How about you? Anything that's cherry flavored. Now they had chocolate eclair. They had the orange one, the orange pop. There was the kind that had a candy bar in the middle of it. Do you remember that? There was one that was chocolate coated, vanilla and vanilla chocolate chip ice cream surrounding an actual candy bar on the stick. Now, the candy was terrible, but it was magic because it was inside, underneath the chocolate, underneath the vanilla. It was, oh, my God, it was heaven. And I'd have to negotiate and strategize how I was going to get to that candy bar in one piece without biting into it and breaking it off. That was my strategy. But they used to have one that was chocolate-coated with cherry vanilla ice cream. That's the one I want to this day. I want the one with the cherry vanilla ice cream. They don't make it anymore. But there was a time when on local TV, on the kids' shows, the announcers would show you the new Good Humor flavor. They'd take it out. There was the new Good Humor flavor. Oh, my gosh. And then you would chase down the Good Humor guy. That was my childhood. And then we came home by 6. Because if I didn't come home by 6, my mother would start to walk to the park. And if she got to the park before I had started to leave, she was not happy. I had a really sweet mother. Nothing bad ever happened except the guilt face. I said 6 o'clock. It's 6:22 right now. What are you still doing here? I didn't know where you were. That was about the extent of it. It really never went further than that. And I grew up in one of those homes that doesn't exist anymore where mom was at home. Dad came home by 6:15. And at 6:30, if he wasn't home, she'd be staring at that clock. And she'd be calling the hospitals. Has there been an accident? No, really. By 6:45, she was calling police stations. He was late maybe twice in his life because the man valued his life. It would have not been pretty. I happen to be a big believer, strong believer. Doesn't matter if it's the husband or wife or the mom or the dad. There should be a parent home all day. All day. It is physically possible to work from home. It's physically, and what I have said, and it's a really interesting challenge to feminism. If the husband comes home and says, you know what? You love your job, Mary. You love everything about your job. I know. You go to work and I'll stay home. We don't need my income. And I don't love going to work. And I'm good with the kids, right? Oh, you're wonderful with the children. Yes. Well, it's not an accident. I work at it. I am good with the children. I make the lunch. I drive them to school. Wait a minute. I do everything with the kids. You go to work. And I'll stay home. That conversation would take place over months of negotiations rather than, oh, sure, okay. A true feminist would say, no problem. Daddy stays home, mom goes to work. That's what true feminism is. Here's my phone number. It's 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Gaffneys, meet the Gaffneys. They live in a 150-year-old house. They've got 8 kids. We don't have time to name them all. Sometimes Dan and Becky like to bicker, and it's always good for a snicker. When you're with the Gaffneys, you know it's Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. It's Sterling every damn night.
Oh! I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here to tell you about living in our old house with 8 kids. A lot of times when we would go out with all 8, people would give us strange looks.
Not a lot of times. Every single time. You can see them counting. You can see them looking. You can see people saying, don't seat us near them. We don't want to be near them. It's obvious. It's not just a side note.
Our kids are well behaved, but after seeing how some kids behave, I understand why they were giving us a dirty look.
Right. We get it. But when we get into a place, we've already talked to our kids about how to behave. If our kids aren't going to behave the way they're supposed to, we're going to walk out. We're going to leave. We're going to fix it. We're going to find a way to make it better, because you have to teach your kids how you expect them to behave if you expect them to behave that way.
All right. Here's a real life example of what we watched this week here in our beach town.
So we live in a resort area. There are events. There are lots of restaurants. And again, when you walk up and you see the group of, let's say there were 4 parents and maybe 13 kids, I think, with this group, it was a pretty big child-heavy group with not a lot of parents. Everybody was commenting. Everyone was saying things about, you know, how ridiculous it was, and these kids this, and they didn't want to be there. These kids sat. They ate. They were good. They helped each other. The mom got up and walked with the baby, if the baby even decided to maybe make a tiny little noise. In comparison to a group of people who came in with a whole bunch of partying moms and just a few kids per mom, it was a nightmare.
They're wrestling in the restaurant. They're heckling a performer. They're screaming, yelling, jumping on chairs. Outlandish. Now, the first group, homeschooled.
Yeah, homeschooled kids, of course.
The second group, not so much.
And the thing was that the homeschoolers were being mocked in front of me, a homeschooling mom, being mocked because they were weird and this and that. And these other people come in and they take all their kids and sit them at the front of the event, made sure all the kids were sitting up front. Then they were as far away as they could get. And half the night they were at the bar, you know, the cool moms at the bar, whereas other moms outside walking her kid around in case she might make a noise and make it inconvenient for anybody else. The only thing that stopped these kids that night when they were wrestling next to the glassware in the fancy restaurant was my march toward them. I started marching toward these moms who had said nothing all night, nothing. They could see it in my face.
Don't trifle with Becky Gaffney.
And as they saw it in my face, they turned toward the kids who were literally on the floor in the high-end restaurant with glassware on the table and said, okay, let's go outside. It's been 3.5 hours of this. 3.5 hours. Then they finally decided, when I was marching over there, to address their kids. And I was marching to address the parents, not the kids. It's the lazy parents' fault.
Well, if you want parenting advice, you can follow my wife on Instagram.
As Just Being Mom. And if you want to find the perfect dad who's never made any mistakes, you can follow him on Facebook.
I don't know whose profile that is. We'll just leave it at that. Dan and Becky, Sterling every damn night.
Radioactive. Details later. The people of Walmart, Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired police detective Vic Ferrari. Learn how the ghost of retired NYPD detective Vic Ferrari continued to file police reports long after he was retired. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
Public Sterling Radio. Sterling every damn night.
Good evening, Walter M. Sterling. Very excited to be with you on a Sunday night. You can hear me every day at 10 p.m. on the Odyssey app. Yes, I'm on 6 nights a week. Now, Odyssey, I have to spell for you because it is the best company with the worst name in the history of man. You immediately thought it was O-D-Y-S-S, right? Odyssey? No, it's hard for me to get it out of my mouth. A-U-D-A-C-Y. That's how they spell it. I had nothing to do with it. If I had been their consultant, which would have been a very smart move for them, because a lot of the problems they have today would not have happened if I had been their consultant. But you see, I'm no longer a consultant. I used to wear Brooks Brothers suits, wingtip shoes, rep ties, white crispy shirts. I was very sensible. I looked very sensible. What came out of my mouth was insane. But if you say things, here's a career tip. If you say things with a certain level of confidence, and you don't hesitate, and if you need to quote a number, make sure it's an odd number with a decimal point, 23.1. That's a perfect number for a consultant to give. 23.1% of our clients have found success with this. Now, you're making it up as you go along. Then if you're still showing PowerPoints, God love you, you're very sweet, but if you're still showing PowerPoints, here's the best tip I can give you about PowerPoints. Did you ask for this? Did you ask for the best tip about PowerPoints? No, but you're going into the great shift, or maybe you're driving home on a Sunday night and you're going to work tomorrow morning at, 8:43. PowerPoints should be no more than 8 slides and 8 words per slide. That's it. What? And if they interrupt you around slide 3 or 4, and they want you to stop, and they have a lot of questions, congratulations, you've won. You did it. There's always a tendency when you've made a PowerPoint to, damn it, you're gonna watch the whole thing. Big mistake. If they say, can we interrupt? Can we ask questions? Yes. Yes, you may. Because then they're invested in this presentation in a way that they were not before. Charlotte, South Carolina has had this horrendous flooding situation. Many cities, the Jersey Shore, horrendous flooding. And I want to thank George Bay Bailey. George Bay Bailey. Is it Ba or Bay? I don't know, George, but you'll let me know. George keeps track of the water, and he's smart, because no matter what happens in Congress, no matter what the president does today, no matter what your local mayor has done to annoy you, nothing comes close to the news of opening the basement door. You open the basement door, and you start to go down to the basement, to the cellar, depending on which part of the country you live in. And your foot, what's this? What is this? And your foot, slam, hits water. What do you mean water? And you realize you've got 2 inches of water on your basement floor, and it's pristine. It's clean water. It's not sewer. That's the good news. It's clean. Where the hell is this coming from? Where is it coming from? From that moment until every drop is gone, that is all your life is about. All your life is about getting rid of that water and finding out where it came from. Sometimes it's mysterious. I had a hot water pipe that had to be 100 years old. I got an old house. Had to be 100 years old that sprung a tiny leak. I mean a pinpoint leak. But it had been going on a while, and therefore there was water on the floor, and it was behind a wall. It took me an hour to figure out where it was even coming from, much less the hell of getting it fixed. Oh, gee, I can't get there on time. I'm in traffic. The stories I heard, that thing sprung a leak for 2 days. And I got that stuff that's supposed to stop any leak that guy coated a boat with, sat in it, and it didn't leak. Okay, I got all that stuff from the hardware store. It leaked. It did not. Maybe it'll keep a boat afloat, but it did not stop the little pinpoint hole in my hot water pipe. I'm Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
This is the show that's setting the trend. Across the nation, it's setting the trend. It's the bright, exciting sound of Sterling Every Damn Night. Sterling Every Damn Night.
How many genders are there?
Two.
What are they?
Male, female.
What about the people that say there's like 20 different types?
Well, there's two genders and a near infinite number of mental illnesses.
I learned that racism is passed down generationally. So it's internalized, which makes sense. I was walking home. It was late at night. And this black guy walks towards me. And instinctively, I grab my purse. Even though logically, I know he's not for sale. He did steal my wallet, though.
Satan lives. Just terrible.
There's no doubt that the yachts on Below Deck are impressive. But the vessels and the crew may not be exactly what they seem.
No, they may not be. And coming up soon, we're going to have a very exciting new feature, Below Deck. We're going to have Below Deck. It's, have you ever seen this show on Bravo? Here's what it is. There's these gazillion-dollar yachts, these huge, incredibly expensive yachts. And for two or three nights, you can ride on one of these yachts for $500,000. That's what the usual price is. You bring a bunch of your friends, $500,000. You set the menu, whatever you want to eat, that's what it's going to be. But these yachts are so big, they have a crew. They have 7 or 8 people who are in charge of cleaning it, making the bed, cooking the food, and a captain. All of the people who are the crew seem to be Australian high school dropouts. They all speak Australian. They're very pretty. They're all pretty. Boys, girls, they're all pretty. And there's always trouble because two or three of them are just terrible at their job. And everybody has to compensate for them. Everybody. The captains of these ships, there are like 4 or 5 different ones. Below Deck Mediterranean, Below Deck Algarve, Below Deck Australia. The captains are in fact, they're not actor captains. They are the actual captain of the ship. They dock the ship. And there's Captain Sandy Yawn, who's a known lesbian, and Captain Lee, who's like a real captain. And sometimes he has to fire people.
Well, I think we might need to agree that this will be your last charter. And I would appreciate it if you knocked these guys' socks off this evening with the last dinner.
You said you're going to fire me?
But I don't see the situation getting any better.
Now, can you imagine saying to a chef, this is your last dinner. I'm firing you. Would you let that person prepare a meal for people who are spending $500,000 to be on that boat? I wouldn't let him anywhere near food that a customer is going to eat because he's just been fired. Think about the things you did when you were fired. Well, maybe you didn't do anything really bad. Maybe a guy followed you out to make sure you didn't do anything bad. That's the best experience, isn't it? When I was at NBC, I was an executive vice president. Yes, I know it's hard to believe. And I wasn't fired. My contract ended. I didn't want to stay. We were done. It was a 3-year deal. I was very happy. And I was happy because the CEO who hired me was gone for about a month. And therefore, I was like alone. I was adrift. I was adrift. But I didn't like the people I worked with. Well-meaning, I'm sure, but I didn't like the people I worked with at NBC. They didn't like me. I was way too young for the job. I was 26. I was an executive vice president. That's just wrong. I understand where their resentment came from. Even then, I understood it. But I didn't give myself the job, boys, so don't give me a hard time. NBC had a very interesting benefits book. They generated a three-ring, listen to me, they generated a three-ring binder. I don't know how this compares to where you work. They generated a three-ring binder, and inside page after page after page spelled out your benefits. It said, you know, this is the health, long-term insurance, vacation. All the benefits were spelled out in this book, but they were statistically, mathematically keyed off of your salary. Your salary was on the first page of the book. It said very clearly, these are the benefits, this is how much you earn, this is what you get, this is the deductions. That was the first page, and it was a red three-ring binder. I'll never forget this binder. Red three-ring binder. And this was in the days of whiteout and photocopies. Yes, ask Grandma about this. I took the first page, because they were always abuzz about what I might be making, which was no different than what they were making, but what I might be making because the CEO himself had hired me. the mystical CEO, not personnel, not HR, not the head of the department or head of the division. No, the head of the company had directly hired me. And therefore, they thought I made tons more than I did. Well, let me give them something to read. I took that page and I whited it out perfectly and in exactly the right typeface. I typed in three times what I was earning. And then I photocopied that page so it was seamless. You can imagine this. You maybe have done some whiteouting yourself. And then I photocopied it. It was seamless. It was a beautiful, perfect reproduction of the page. But the salary was three times what I was making. And I wanted them all to see this. I wanted everybody to see this. And I took that book and I put it right in the middle of the conference room table of the division. Everybody who ran that radio division would come into that conference room at some point during that day or that week. And I left it right in the middle of the table. Right there. I never heard from any of them. I'm sure they saw it. I'm sure they gossiped about it. And I'm sure it just turned up the flame, the twin flame of them hating me. But, yeah, they deserved it. They were such jerks that I was running the FM division. Maybe you've had these problems at work. I was running the FM division. And the AM division guys were loud, annoying sales guys. And my guys were like programming, thoughtful, nicely dressed. The AM guys were wearing green suits. They're horrible guys. They were horrible guys. And they decided in their mind that they were the landlords of the location. If it was Chicago or San Francisco or Washington, they decided they were the landlords. Where this came from, I'll never know, but they imagined it. And one day, my general manager from San Francisco, John Hayes, calls me up. And John says, Walter, I walked in today and I had no chair at my desk. So what? I had no chair. Oh, why? Because the AM manager, Bill Dwyer, decided that he was the landlord and somebody at his station needed the chair. That's how it went. Don't give me any crap about getting along. You know, don't talk to me ever about team players and team spirit. That is one thing I have never said to a group of people who I worked with. Never. Nor have I ever said, this is our culture. I don't believe you can announce a culture. I think a culture has to evolve with a group of people. It has to become part of them. They have to form the culture. And your bumper cars, if you're the boss, it's head of the division, or if it's your store, your company, you're the bumper cars. You can't make them go in the directions you want. You can keep them from falling off the cliff, but that's about it, because I will never forget the smartest thing one of my mentors ever said to me. He said, remember, Sterling, in any situation, there are three options. Yes, no, do nothing. Do nothing is usually the best option. Do not touch that dial. It's Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling every night. The car is alive. Neon lights flicker.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I want to talk about a case that came back to haunt me. So towards the end of my NYPD career, I was working on a case with another detective he was leading, and we were trying to figure out the identity of a car thief who would deliver stolen cars to this junkyard. So one day, we follow him to an address in the South Bronx, see the guy get out of a car, which had a temporary license plate, so that was no luck, and he walks into the building. We saw him go into the building several times, and what I did was I went through the Department of Motor Vehicles, and I pulled every person that lived in that building who had a driver's license. And sure enough, within a month, I got a packet, and there was our car thief. So I did what's called a DD-5 or a report. I typed it out and explained how I spotted this individual, how I followed the individual into a building, and how I went through the proper channels through DMV to get his driver's license, and how I was able to figure out who he was. So I fill out this report and I retire. Well, I'm retired about a year, and I get a call from a district attorney who wants me to testify on the case. So I said, okay, yeah, if you need me, just subpoena me, and just, you're going to have to pay to fly me up there and my lodging and everything, but sure, willing to help. Well, a couple of weeks later, I get a call from this district attorney again about other individuals that I supposedly identified. And I says, well, send me the reports. Well, here's the problem. The reports are dated after I retired. So obviously, I didn't do these reports. So I told the district attorney, I said, listen, I find this highly unusual that these reports have been filled out without my signature on it. I was not active. I was retired. He says, okay, no problem. 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from an internal affairs sergeant asking me the same questions. And I said, listen, you're going to have to talk to whoever was working on that case after I retired. For the life of me, I don't go around filling out police reports 6 months after I retire. What wound up happening was the case detective, after I retired, was using the templates that I had filled out for that report. He just forgot to put his name in, and he forgot to sign the report. So it looked like I was creating these ghost reports months after I retired, which was not the case. So it was just a clerical mix-up, but for a while there, I had no idea what was going on. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Presumption and Dysfunction.
Gaffneys, meet the Gaffneys. They live in a 150-year-old house. They've got 8 kids. We don't have time to name them all. Sometimes Dan and Becky like to bicker, and it's always good for a snicker. When you're with the Gaffneys, you know it's Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. It's Sterling every damn night.
Oh! I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here to tell you about living in our old house with 8 kids. A lot of times when we would go out with all 8, people would give us strange looks.
Not a lot of times. Every single time. You can see them counting. You can see them looking. You can see people saying, don't seat us near them. We don't want to be near them. It's obvious. It's not just a side note.
Our kids are well behaved, but after seeing how some kids behave, I understand why they were giving us a dirty look.
Right. We get it. But when we get into a place, we've already talked to our kids about how to behave. If our kids aren't going to behave the way they're supposed to, we're going to walk out. We're going to leave. We're going to fix it. We're going to find a way to make it better, because you have to teach your kids how you expect them to behave if you expect them to behave that way.
All right. Here's a real life example of what we watched this week here in our beach town.
So we live in a resort area. There are events. There are lots of restaurants. And again, when you walk up and you see the group of, let's say there were 4 parents and maybe 13 kids, I think, with this group, it was a pretty big child-heavy group with not a lot of parents. Everybody was commenting. Everyone was saying things about, you know, how ridiculous it was, and these kids this, and they didn't want to be there. These kids sat. They ate. They were good. They helped each other. The mom got up and walked with the baby, if the baby even decided to maybe make a tiny little noise. In comparison to a group of people who came in with a whole bunch of partying moms and just a few kids per mom, it was a nightmare.
They're wrestling in the restaurant. They're heckling a performer. They're screaming, yelling, jumping on chairs. Outlandish. Now, the first group, homeschooled.
Yeah, homeschooled kids, of
the
course.
The second group, not so much.
And the thing was that the homeschoolers were being mocked in front of me, a homeschooling mom, being mocked because they were weird and this and that. And these other people come in and they take all their kids and sit them at the front of the event, made sure all the kids were sitting up front. Then they were as far away as they could get. And half the night they were at the bar, you know, the cool moms at the bar, whereas other moms outside walking her kid around in case she might make a noise and make it inconvenient for anybody else. The only thing that stopped these kids that night when they were wrestling next to the glassware in the fancy restaurant was my march toward them. I started marching toward these moms who had said nothing all night. Nothing. They could see it in my face.
Don't trifle with Becky Gaffney.
And as they saw it in my face, they turned toward the kids who were literally on the floor in the high-end restaurant with glassware on the table and said, okay, okay, let's go outside. It's been 3.5 hours of this. 3.5 hours. Then they finally decided when I was marching over there to address their kids. And I was marching to address the parents, not the kids. It's the lazy parents' fault.
Well, if you want parenting advice, you can follow my wife on Instagram.
As Just Being Mom. And if you want to find the perfect dad who's never made any mistakes, you can follow him on Facebook.
I don't know whose profile that is. We'll just leave it at that. Dan and Becky, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every damn night from sea to shining sea.
Do you have a challenged kid? Do you have a kid who's really special and interesting? We have one who has apraxia and autism. She's 13, and she's smarter than us. She's beautiful, and she's an interesting autistic in that she is socially focused, very articulate, knows exactly how to make you her friend. You will be her friend. Social, outgoing, extrovert. Her autism affects her academics. Academically, she's challenged. She's going into seventh grade. She's starting seventh grade, and she reads like a kindergartner, writes like a kindergartner, but she's pretty good at math. She could do the 9 times table. And tomorrow, we have to get her going for this year.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
No, really. A vegan's brain gets smaller and smaller over time.
Sterling every night, lost in space. Mission control, David Scott.
Dave Scott hosts a radio show called Spaced Out Radio in Canada. Yes, in Canada, they have UFOs. Have you ever been to Canada? You'll lust for the UFOs to make something interesting, anything interesting in Canada. Dave hosts a show called Spaced Out Radio. You can find it on YouTube, Spaced Out Radio. He's an expert in Bigfoot, metaphysics, portals, time travel, all of those things. Much like Mr. Clotworthy, the narrator of Ancient Aliens.
Oh, my goodness. I think probably the most popular question that they ask me is do I believe in what I'm saying? That's probably it. Am I a believer or not? And I have to explain to them that my job is to basically follow the lead of the late, great creator of Ancient Aliens, Kevin Burns, who said he was an agnostic but open to the information. So I don't want to tip my hand. I have become very, very good friends with the theorists, but I try to walk that fine line of a person that's curious and open to the information and is looking for answers just like everybody else.
And you, Dave Scott, are you open to the idea, or do you have firm opinions about extraterrestrials and 10-ton blocks being lifted by sound?
Well, ETs I'm always going to be open to because I think they've been here for millennia, if not longer. Now, whether or not they have the telepathy or the technology to be able to lift 10-ton blocks, look, we know it's possible. If you go look at the Coral Castle in Florida, that was moved by an elderly man behind curtains who never gave up the secret as to how he was able to move literally multi-ton blocks from one location to another to rebuild his castle.
Dave Scott, how do you think he built his castle?
Oh, goodness. I wouldn't even know where to start. You know, it is something that is still a mystery to these days because it actually goes right against physics. And we should probably tell people, Walter, a little bit about the story of the Coral Castle in Florida. Now, a gentleman named Edward Lee Skalman, he lived from 1887 to 1951. he actually built this, including numerous shapes like crescent moons and orbs and statues and all sorts of really cool things. And it is still on display in Miami-Dade County. Now, apparently, Lead Skelton was 26 years old when he was suddenly rejected by his 16-year-old fiancée, Agnes Gust, in Latvia, just one day before their wedding. Now, he came down with massive depression, and he figured that in the United States, where he had moved, that if he built her a castle, that she may one day come back. And it took him more than 28 years to build this castle out of coral. Now, he built it, originally calling it Ed's Place, but eventually it changed over. Lead Skaldin named the new place Rock Gate after a huge rear-swinging gate in which he built into the back wall. Like, he did this all by hand. But the thing is, he was a very meek gentleman. Nobody knows how he found the strength or the physics in order to actually build this place. Now, he was in poor health near the end of his life, and he still refused to give up the secret on how he moved the project from one location to another. Every piece, he did it by himself. The only thing people knew was back then he had curtains up surrounding his house, so people could not see how he was doing it. The stones were fastened with mortar, and some of the pieces were up to 8-9 feet tall in vertical stones that he was moving by himself. And to this day, it is one of the biggest mysteries in the United States. How did he move the rocks? We don't know.
It's less of a mystery now that you revealed one thing I did not know about the Coral Castle in Florida. I think it's Kendall, Florida. That it took him 28 years. Well, now, yeah. If it took him 28 years, seems to me he could have done it just by pushing him.
Could be.
Yeah.
And a lot of people believe that it was the physics that he used to build this and to prop these walls up.
Yeah.
It was the same physics that the pyramids were used with.
Right.
And what that physics is, we don't know.
That's what he said. He said it was the same way they built the pyramids. But we don't know. Now, what have you got, Dave? Dave Scott always has information, interesting news about UFOs, extraterrestrial life, metaphysics. Dave, what's up?
Well, we're going to tackle a story here on sea monsters. You and I have never talked sea monsters.
Okay? No, we have not. We have not.
So back in August of 1972, it was actually, 51 years ago, this past weekend, in British Columbia, where I live, at Thetis Lake. Now, the Victoria Daily Times reported two local boys, Gordon and Robin, were chased by a bipedal reptilian creature after it emerged from Thetis Lake. The beast was about 5 feet tall, had silvery skin and webbed feet and hands. Furthermore, it had barbed fins on its head, legs, and arms. Flewellen, one of the boys, Robin Flewellen, claims cuts found on the back of his hand were left by the creature trying to grab him. Following the attack, the boys contacted the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and they were so impressed with the sincerity of the young man, they actually began looking for this hideous monster, but unfortunately, they found nothing. A few days later, two more boys, Russell Van Nies and Mike Gold, come forward claiming to have seen the monster as well. However, years later, Van Nies admits that author Daniel Loxton, that it never really happened. They fabricated their sightings in hope of gaining attention. Pike and Flewellen, however, never recanted their story. So I started looking for some monsters here, because I know you like monsters. And here are some of the top lake monsters in North America, mostly in the United States. So have you ever heard of the Lake Worth monster? It's just outside of Fort Worth, Texas.
No, I have not. I've never heard of that monster, Dave Scott.
Well, let's talk about it. The hysteria started around 1969. This lake monster, kind of creepy, Walter, might look like a former mother-in-law or something along those lines. It looked like half human, half goat. believed to be dwelling in the lake, but the deft swimmer wasn't afraid to climb up on land to chase people around. Local newspaper headline reading, Fishman Goat Terrifies Couples Parked at Lake Worth, said to be about 7 feet tall, had both fur and scales. One man claimed it was able to jump from a tree onto his car, leaving a deep gash in the hood. Another man reported that he fended it off by throwing leftover chicken at its hideous face. Very ugly indeed. We'll move over to another legend, the Honey Island Swamp Monster in eastern Louisiana. It goes back to 1963, where American Indians in the area had older stories of other monsters, as they called it Latiche. The Cajuns in the area preferred tainted chitre. The swamp itself is otherworldly enough, barely touched by humans, and all reports indicate the state that it has this weird-looking creature. Now, it seems to have, like, chicken legs with, like, a bear-type body and a lizard-type head or an alligator head, but very few people have seen it. Many people believe that it's just hunters in ghillie suits that are running around.
No. Who would do that? What kind of hunter is that kind of spare time?
Well, I mean, it's the same thing with Sasquatch. They feel that Sasquatch is people running around the forest barefoot. So, go ahead.
How do we find you, Dave Scott, if we want to get in touch with you? What do we have to do?
SpacedOutRadio.com. info@spacedoutradio.com is the email. And, of course, we're on YouTube as well at Spaced Out Radio.
Dave Scott on Sterling every damn Sunday.
The people of Walmart, Sterling every damn night.
I love seafood. I think you do as well. Most people love seafood. And my personal seafood item is shrimp. And I often get it at my neighborhood Walmart. Sad news to report. Shrimp arriving on ships, likely from Asia. The shrimp, radioactive. I worry I may be, instead of Spider-Man, Shrimp Man. Because I've eaten a lot of shrimp in my day, and I put down a big thing of it like last week that I got at Walmart before these reports came out. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing to have radioactive foods. So why was the shrimp radioactive? That's the question we really don't know all that much about. But you know what else is radioactive at Walmart? High prices. High prices get in the way of families being able to live their best lives. That's why Walmart is the largest corporation in the world. High prices? Yeah, they're gone. No one wants it. If you purchase shrimp from your neighborhood Walmart, either the ready-to-eat or the frozen raw, return it to Walmart now. Or go to the Google. Do you have the Google? Got the Google? I like the Google. Ask Google what lots of frozen shrimp from Walmart have been recalled. You will find all the great information, and I think that's awesome. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool. Sterling every damn night.
Lesbians in space, Sterling every damn night.
I was like, how do you get lesbians to go to a comedy show? So I took out some ads. Yeah, I was like, I'm gonna target lesbians. And then I found out that's illegal. You can't target lesbians, but you can target people that might be interested in lesbian things.
Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern to 1 a.m. Eastern. This is a three-hour show. If this station's only airing 2 hours of it, you're being cheated out of quality radio programming. I've got a phone number. It's live, a live line, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. It is shocking to me that not one candidate for any office has ever stood up and said, I am going to do everything I can to get rid of the tolls. I'm going to do everything I can to get rid of the tolls. There's no need for these tolls. It gets worse. There is a publication. You won't believe this. You can sign up for it. It's called Tollway News. Tollway News. And what's terrifying is that these toll operators, they talk to each other. There are headlines like Metro Tampa Express Lanes Construction Begins. Construction of Florida DOT's $340 million I-275 widening project has started in Metro Tampa. Contracting is adding tolled express lanes over a 7.5-mile corridor. Two lanes in each direction. Two lanes in each direction. The target opening date is 2030. Here's another one. Georgia. State Road 400 Express Project advances to construction. The SR Express Lanes financing and contracting now complete. The Peach Partners is moving into construction mode over the summer. Consortium began work earlier this month. It's terrifying. Let's see, what are they doing now? They're authorized to Georgia DOT, such as conducting geotechnical investigation. It will now start preliminary construction activities such as utility relocation, clearing vegetation, and setting up work zones. Several additional steps will be required before a notice to proceed is issued and major construction starts. Among other things, the consortium needs to finalize designs, obtain some required permits, and complete right-of-way acquisition. But what about the tolls? Well, on October 5th, State Road 400 Peach Partners and the State Road and Tollway Authority reached financial close on a 56-year design. What did I say? A 56-year design to build, operate, and maintain agreement for development of the Metro Atlanta Corridor's 16 miles of new tolled expressway. New tolled expressway over the next 56 years. And here's the one that really is bizarre. Audi, the car, and a toll collection company, an electronic toll collection company, one of those that reads your license plate or reads your brain waves or something and can collect toll. Audi and a toll collection company are working together. They're working together. You figured the car was on your side when it came to tolls? Maybe not. Because Audi has gone into an agreement with a toll collection company to share data, to give the driver more information. But the bottom line is there is no way you're going to escape any toll. I have never heard a governor, mayor, president, senator, congressman say, we're going to get rid of the tolls. This is nonsense. There's no need for these tolls. The prices is extraordinary. You're an 18-wheeler. You know what? You have no idea how much more an 18-wheeler has to pay over a four-wheeler for the same trip. It's about $1,000 for an 18-wheeler to drive from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh. It's about $60 for a four-wheeler to drive from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh on the oldest toll road in the world and the most expensive toll road in the world, the Pennsylvania Turnpike. The most. There's no need for it. You're thinking, well, you know, you have to have tolls to repair the road. No, that's not where the road repair money comes from. It comes from gasoline taxes. What? Yeah, most of the toll money goes to repaying the bonds that built the road, the debt that built the road. I just shared with you, they have a 56-year plan in Georgia to build additional lanes, additional highway. Have you ever been stuck in the highways, the beltways around Atlanta, you know they need every square inch of road, but they don't need to collect a toll. It should come out of the state transportation budget. There's no need for a toll. Then if you go and, you know, when you're bored, do that. Hey, you, do this when you're bored. Every toll road budget is public. It's shockingly easy to find, and they should be ashamed of it. Because in every state, they should be ashamed of it. Just type in the state, toll road budget, And there you will see the extraordinary amounts of money that, like, the president of the toll road gets, $800,000, $900,000 a year. The CEO of the toll road gets $900,000 a year. For what? What exactly are they getting that money for? The road's already built. They don't collect the toll. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to do anything. The state police, sadly, is usually one of the smaller items on the budget, and a state police officer deserves the most money. Every state police officer puts in a gun, goes to work, could get killed. They need to get the most money. Does that happen? No, that doesn't happen. My favorite is many of these toll roads have a budget line for what? What? Public relations. Does every road need a PR firm? I'm Walter Sterling every damn Sunday. Look at you. Look at you driving home from the weekend, driving to the great shift, the third shift. Welcome. Welcome. This is morning drive for you and me. You know, in the radio industry, this is considered dead time. People who sell advertising, they don't think this is any value. And how stupid is that? Like, how stupid is that? You're old. You know, do you remember a book called Valley of the Dolls? Valley of the Dolls by Jacqueline Suzanne. It was a dirty book. It was a smutty book. It sold 25 million copies. You know how it sold 25 million copies? It sold 25 million copies because there was an all-night radio host in New York City named Long John Neville. And Long John Neville was an interesting character because Long John probably hadn't finished high school. He had run an auction house in Jersey. You know what an auction house is? I didn't. It's where they, it's, it would be, you know what it is? It was like what QVC was in the 40s and 50s. Before QVC, before television shopping, these were places on the side of the road. They were warehouse sizes, maybe 5,000 square feet. And a couple times a day, the owner or an auctioneer would stand in front of it with merchandise they wanted to sell to you, and you could pull into the parking lot, and from 1 to 2 in the afternoon, he would stand there, and here's item number 23, and it's going for this amount. What's the first bid? And that's how they do it. It was an auction house on the side of the road, popular business before QVC, but QVC is basically the same thing. Well, Long John Neville, who had a very strident voice. He had a very strident voice, and he exaggerated words. He was on six nights a week. Get this. He was on six nights a week. Can you imagine that? For 6 hours a night. He'd start at midnight. He'd go till six in the morning, and he'd have three or four people in there with him, and they would talk about UFOs, Betty and Barney Hill, the first abductees. And they would describe being abducted. Everything you see on Ancient Aliens was, in fact, started by Long John Neville in the 50s and 60s on the radio out of New York. And he was on these big AM stations where the signal at this hour could travel over to 36 states. We cover 36 states at night, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Jacqueline Suzanne and her husband, Irving Mansfield, were friends of Long John. And Jacqueline Suzanne was quite the lady. She was elegant, beautifully dressed, and she wrote a dirty book. And she was going to sell that dirty book. And she'd go on with Long John two or three times a month. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have dirty book author Jacqueline Suzanne. Jacqueline Suzanne is an elegant, refined woman who has written a book that can only be defined as a dirty book. It doesn't match who she looks like, what she is, and yet some people are interested in what she has written. Well, I'll tell you this. It was a dirty book, but it was a terrible book. It was about suburban women who were bored out of their minds and addicted to pills. pain pills, barbiturates, very big in the 50s, barbiturates. And Long John would get on the air, and he would read from this book on the air, FCC-licensed facilities. He'd read page after page, and then at some point, Long John would say, I am reading Jacqueline Suzanne's filthy book, The Valley of the Dolls, but I must stop now, or this station could lose its license from the Federal Communications Commission. That's pretty much how John talked. And he'd stop. Well, when he stopped, what did you have to do the next day? You had to go to the bookstore and buy the dirty book. You wanted to hear what happened next in the dirty book. There was no internet. There were no websites with naked women and lesbians. No, there were just books and dirty magazines. And there were dirty magazine stores, which your great-grandfather will tell you about, that were a little beyond the Life, Look, Time, Newsweek magazine stores. The Time, Newsweek, Look magazine stores, they might carry Playboy, Tops, that was it. But there were other magazine stores that would go much deeper. But you wanted to buy Valley of the Dolls. As a result of her going on Long John Nemple for a couple months, him reading the dirty book on the air and saying, that's all I can read tonight, they sold 25 million of those books, 25 millions of Valley of the Dolls. And then they turned it into a terrible movie starring Patty Duke. Well, the reason it was a terrible movie, even though well cast, is because it was a terrible book. It wasn't anything to be made of. You don't make a movie out of that book. Oh, my God, could you imagine? And at the time, to show what was really interesting from the book on the screen must have been impossible. There was no way they could do it because it was before the code. XR, you know, before that nonsense, that scam, the ultimate scam. There you go. Therefore, radio at this time sells like crazy. When I share information with you about there's my paper. When I share information with you about MyPillow, and I talk to you about it, and we learn about the percale sheets that are on sale, incredible offering. 22, wait, let me find the price here. The MyPillow, look at this. $17.98 for a standard MyPillow. The entire classic collection is up for wholesale prices. You get the queen size for just $22.98. Call 800-844-0876. I will get more response per audience, per listener, than they do during the day. MyPillow has been with us since day one because they know. They know that nothing sells product like you, Midnight Misfits. You and I are alone. I'm 14 inches from the microphone. You're 14 inches from the speaker. You have about 23 minutes to go before you get home. You left late. You left late, didn't you? And the kid's got to go to school tomorrow. Don't feel bad. The kid doesn't care. Kid's fine. You're upset, don't worry about it. Teacher gets upset, it's just because they want money from the state. You know, if your kid doesn't show up, they don't get as much money from the state in a public school. You didn't know that? Now you do. Let's see. You can get multi-use MyPillows for only $9.98, and I'd appreciate it if you would do me a favor. I would appreciate it if you would buy one MyPillow at this wholesale price to show the MyPillow gang that you appreciate the fact that they advertise and sponsor Sterling every damn night. Would you do that? You just got to get it's $20. You're going to spend more than that on lunch tomorrow. You've wasted more than that at the last rest stop, didn't you? More than the kid wanted those expensive candies and nonsense. And now the kid's asleep. Make this call, please. You ready? 800-844-0876. That's the phone number, 800-844-0876. MyPillow products at wholesale price. And that phone number I just gave you, that's only for us. That's the Midnight Misfit phone number, 800-844-0876. Sterling every damn Sunday.
James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
Thank you. We're going to start off. Hey, that's enough. That's enough. We're going to go down to Pompano Beach here. And this actually started from a viral video. Video shows man clinging to back of moving bus in Pompano Beach. The man who was being videoed noticed the passenger in the vehicle next to him taking the video. With one hand, he lets go of the bus and starts doing this little dance where he's pumping his little fist up and down. Not only is he not scared, he's mocking the idea that someone's concerned about his safety. And on top of that, this is not too uncommon. There was another viral video just from June of a guy who was on the roof of a car going 70 miles per hour down I-95.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Next Florida story. Stabbing at Davies Painting with a Twist. Two guys are fighting over a girl at Painting with a Twist. Now, this just happened last Friday. A couple walked toward Davies Painting with a Twist for a woman's surprise birthday party. An ex-boyfriend, there's video of this as well. This is killer surveillance video here. An ex-boyfriend drives up in the truck, almost hits him, jumps out. And when he jumps out, the new boyfriend tries to shut the door on him and kind of does, kind of slams him in his own door. And then they get in a fight. Apparently, at some point, someone got stabbed, but you can't really see it that well in the video. It does that thing that happens in real fights when you're not in movies, when you just kind of end up in a stalemate rolling around on the ground and no one can throw a punch.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Here's another Florida story. A Florida cop in trouble for not rushing to a shooting call, said it didn't meet her standards. The story began in Bradenton, Florida. A man was shot. Girlfriend calls the cops. Now, she reports it's an accidental shooting, but that's what they all say at the beginning, right? And no one knows what the situation is. But Schwartz wasn't convinced. She had been assigned immediately. She was the primary officer assigned to the call by dispatch, but she never even turned on her lights. She didn't turn on her sirens. She didn't speed. In fact, for a big chunk of the trip, she was going under the speed limit. She was stopping at all four traffic lights on the way. And here's the kicker. Before she made it there, her sergeant, her boss, was speeding to the scene with his siren on, with his lights on. She pulls over, lets him by, and then continues and still doesn't turn on her lights and sirens. And here's the extra Florida touch. She hasn't been fired. She still has her job. She went through some retraining, and she's back on the beat.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
We go over to Jacksonville for this one. A man enters a Jacksonville store and chases people with a live alligator. And apparently, this was a joke. He says, this is the quote in the news, too. Y'all ain't out of beer, are you? Is he taking the last bit of beer? Y'all aren't taking the last bit of beer, are you? So news reached out to the man. It's being investigated now by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. What are you investigating? Because even the news article says here, it is currently unknown if the man has done anything illegal. I'm sorry, it's not illegal to carry around a little bitty alligator, even in a gas station, and kind of wave him at people. I thought this was America. This is a free country. I can't walk around with an alligator and wave him at people in a grocery store. I thought this was a free country. I thought this was America. Maybe this is North Korea. I thought it was America, though.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
And finally, on Florida Stories, we go to Okaloosa Island, where a 30-year-old unemployed man apparently decided to steal an ice cream truck. The guy's name is William Grappy, a California native whose current address is listed in Tampa. But listen, this guy's not originally from Florida, and that's another thing about Florida. Ordinary people who are living ordinary lives in other states move to Florida and do stupid stuff like this, like steal an ice cream truck. What are you going to do with an ice cream truck? What is the resale market? What is the black market value of an ice cream truck? Is the guy at the chop shop saying, hey, William, I need some parts for an ice cream truck. Can you go find one for me? That'd be great. Yeah, I'll pay you top dollar for it.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
They call him Sterling, Sterling, every damn night. No, no one you know makes better radio. And you know Sterling, Sterling is live from the laundry room. If the noise level gets higher, it's probably just the dryer.
Yes, live from my laundry room, America's favorite laundry room. It's Sterling every damn night. You can hear me on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, the Audacy app. I know it's a terrible name. Six nights a week, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. And I have an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com, waltermsterling@gmail.com. Well, tomorrow I have a lot of excitement to deal with. Tomorrow, I start to run the bureaucracy to make sure that my precious, beautiful 13-year-old daughter gets to stay in the private special ed school that she belongs in. There were a lot of shenanigans about this. And the fact is that in most states, if a public school system cannot accommodate a child, they are required to pay for the special ed for that kid. And they did last year. And now they don't want to. There are a number of scholarships and grants that we could access, no problem, but they don't cover the whole amount. And I'm very lucky. I have a brother and sister who have that kind of money. And they have no interest in helping my daughter. None. It's insane. Because I know, and like you, that if somebody came to me with a need for their child, especially a dynamic like this, where do I sign? What do you need? And I've known other people who have done that. I'm just in shock that my brother doesn't return a call and my sister said no. And I'm like, they have the money. They have the money. And remember, the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Now the credit roll for Sterling Every Damn Night, featuring the extreme talent of Dave Scott, Thea Landon, Charles Van Zandt, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Dave Iger, Sean Serino, Father James Drucker, Jill Brook, Steve and Selena, Alexander Castiles, David Gargaroff, Gene Stalker, Vic Ferrari, starring Walter Sterling, and I'm your announcer, James Copeland, a KWMDS production. A great way to end.